It's a sprawling city of 3.5 million. Berlin offers leafy boulevards with neoclassical buildings and monuments that remind you of its dense history. And it has lively and mostly affordable neighborhoods for young creatives and immigrants to call home. In just a minute, two guides from Berlin update us on what's new in their city. And a former Peace Corps volunteer reflects on the value of a stint in the U.S. Foreign Service venture that President Kennedy established back in 1961. Nothing captures the epitome of modern Europe, to me, quite like Berlin. It's lively, complicated, and it's captivating, continuously evolving while confronting its past. Berlin today is a hub for creativity and culture, and it's simply an enjoyable place to hang out. Now, balancing its rich traditions and its diverse population, Berlin is where that fine line between history and current events is kind of excitingly blurry. Right now, I'd like to find out how things are faring in Germany's dynamic first city with two Berlin-based tour guides, Holger Zimmer and Jim McDonough. Holger and Jim, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
What an energy in Berlin. I was just there with both of you guys.
Yeah.
And it was just a thrill for me to get up to date with it. And it's great that we can do that now on our radio show. And Holger, first of all, tell me, how is Berlin part of your life?
Oh, it's been a long time. I call myself a Berliner now, even though, you know, I've only lived there only like 35 years, roughly. So I came there just after the wall had come down.
Were actually attracted to Berlin when the wall came down?
Oh, I was attracted to Berlin way before. I was a little high school kid, and I hitchhiked across Eastern Germany, through Eastern Germany, to go to West Berlin to party there with my friends. And it was like, I knew Berlin is my city when I was 17, 18 years of age, and I knew that is the city I want to go in. And whenever the wall came down, as soon as that came down,
I moved there. So we have to remember that before 1989, right?
Yeah.
That you would have been in West Germany,
Berlin
was mostly West German, but it was an island of the West in the middle of the East.
West Berlin was, indeed.
Yeah. And you've stayed there ever since?
I stayed there ever since. It's my home now. Absolutely. I love it.
And I feel a great love for Berlin when I'm with you in your adopted home city. Now, Jim, you're an American. How did you end up in Berlin, and what's your story?
Well, I went to Berlin years ago as a college student, and I received an academic scholarship to study for a year in Berlin to study German history. And I ended up just staying after I was done and became a tour guide. And that's what I've been doing now for the last 17 years.
Now, I noticed there's a lot of Americans that ended up in Berlin. And a lot of you have a fascination with history, it seems like.
Absolutely. I mean, Berlin is one big outdoor museum. And not only does it have its history, but it's also got its cultural opportunities. It's got its wonderful recreational activities that you can do in the summertime. Seems like it's got something for everybody.
Now, it's a fascinating story for me because I was writing a guidebook that covered Berlin before 1990 and after 1990. And Berlin was well divided before the end of communism
sure.
there.
Right.
And you had all the museums had been in the center, but now they had been, it's like a biological thing where a cell splits, you know, and the museums went to the east and the west, get into your corner, get into your corner. And then suddenly Berlin has to knit itself back together. So what was the center of the city, Potsdamer Platz, became no man's land.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the wall, and everybody turns their back to the wall. The wall was the least desirable real estate, because who wants to be up against a wall,
yeah.
especially a wall like that. And suddenly the wall's gone, and Potsdamer Platz becomes the center again, the Times Square of Berlin. But it's a fascinating story how the museums went back to the center, and that they used to joke that the crane was the city bird, and there's always cranes there.
But coming back to this idea of museums moving, and when we had the division, you know, both sides, West Berlin as much as East Berlin, wanted to shine, wanted to show off, like, we're the center of communism in East Germany. We're great. We can do this. And we built these wonderful TV towers, which actually the Swedish had built because the East Germans couldn't do it. On the West also, it's a beacon of capitalism. So the cool thing about Berlin is you have most things double or triple. We have three opera houses. Imagine
right.
that. Like one city in Germany has three opera houses because of that division,
yeah.
because everyone wanted to have their own thing. And now we're together.
And I think communist Europe was a very, very good at making a false sense of prosperity and success as a showcase, right? So you had that television tower. You had the boulevard, the Russian Gothic boulevard in Berlin?
The Karl Marx Allee, which was originally called the Stalin Allee, changed to Karl Marx Allee, right? It was a big showcase.
Stalin Allee.
Mm-hmm.
Was that subsidized by Russia to show off?
I mean, Russia was playing a big part because the architects went to Russia to see, oh, what was the empire style? You know, how do we do it? And then it was basically, it was like rebuilt the city because everything was completely devastated.
1945, the city was just flat.
It was leveled. And so in this area, they wanted to have the showcase, like palaces for the working people.
Showcase blasts. Yeah. And even today, there's a lot of people living there. And I understand it's actually kind of trendy now to live there. And it's comfortable. You got this old, kind of elegant, but in a Stalinistic kind of way, mass housing on this Grand Boulevard.
I would say, I think it's beautiful. If you ever want to know what Moscow looks like without going to Moscow, come to East Berlin.
I remember going to a cafe out there, a cafe.
Sibylle.
And it was famous because it had Stalin's mustache.
His ear, actually.
Oh, his ear. Yeah, that was it.
Right,
Stalin's
exactly.
ear. From what was that? What was the big deal? Was that part of a statue or something?
Yes, it was. It was part of a statue, and they put it there on display as something that people could just come in and look at.
Because it was the largest Stalin statue outside of Russia. And then when they pulled it down, like overnight, when Stalin fell out of favor, you know, just some things survived, and this era is still there to be seen.
And it's a reminder that when you're that evil, when you fall out of favor, very little of what you did survives because you don't see anything about Stalin anywhere except his ear at this cafe, which is kind of just a historical joke. The point is, Berlin has been a work in progress because of its difficult history and so on. And when we visit today, there's still a lot going on. Our guides to Berlin on Travel with Rick Steves are both longtime residents of the German capital. American Jim McDonnell has made it his home ever since studying abroad. And Holger Zimmer moved to Berlin shortly after the wall came down. He was part of an influx of young artists and musicians who brought their creative energy to the city. Holger also covers art, film, music, and culture for local media in Berlin. Now, when I think about downtown central rebuilding, trying to revitalize Berlin, I think of Potsdamer Platz because I've got sort of a romantic view of Potsdamer Platz. It's, as I say, it's the Times Square, I think, of Berlin. And at one time, it was arguably the most thriving and busy square in Europe.
Yeah, first traffic light was there.
First traffic light. And you can still see a monument to that.
Replica of it.
And today, you go there, and you've got bits of the Berlin Wall stacked there, like capitalism dancing on the grave of communism. And those slices of the Berlin Wall, caked in graffiti, are now covered in chewing gum. What do you think about when you go to the Potsdamer Platz and you see that, Jim?
Well, it's a testament to the fact that Berlin is just an evolving city. It's just got all this modernity around it. And now you take something like the Berlin Wall that divided that city for 28 years, and now you're able to just go up and put your gum on it, I think is saying that we've come a long way since the fall of it.
Now, that used to be big hope. That was the Sony Center and all this. I remember it was big news in Berlin. It feels kind of like anticlimactic when you get there now.
It is. It's a place for tourists to come to. The whole idea was to bring back that prestige. You know, you had the best entertainment venues on Potsdamer Platz. You had the world-class hotels before World War II. But then, of course, it all lay in ruin in 1945. And then half of it ends up in the British sector, the other Soviet sector, and then a wall is built across it. I mean, imagine going to New York City today, and I say this to my tourists, is that go to New York City today, tear down all the buildings on Times Square and build
a wall through it.
And it's just inconceivable, but that's exactly what happened in Berlin.
Yeah.
And so the idea was to bring all that back. There was the hope that all those big businesses that left Berlin would come back after the reunification, but they didn't.
It didn't work.
Didn't work out.
So now the tourists go there and like I do, you stand and you straddle the little brass monument in the pavement that says this was the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
And you're 1 foot in the east and 1 foot in the west. Holger.
Like, yeah, but I mean, this whole area, it's kind of mixed. So as it doesn't quite work as a shopping area so much. But when Berlin was divided, they put the Berlin Philharmonic there. And that is still like there because now Berlin is unified and it's right in the center and not in the outskirts anymore like it was when they built it. So, and next door is the Kulturforum, amazing Gemäldegalerie, like the old masters. There's a museum for art and design, arts and crafts. So
I think the best painting gallery in Germany, you could say.
It's quite amazing. So there is arts and culture there as well. So do make a point going there, but know where to go.
You and I were just going down Unter den Linden, and that's the Grand Boulevard, I think, of Berlin now, leading up to the Pariser Platz and Brandenburg Gate. And we got to the Humboldt Forum, the old Hohenzollern Palace. And I have fond memories of that during communism as a very kind of a bleak people's palace. What was it called? during...
Yeah, Palast der Republik, or they call it Honecker's Lampenladen. That was like the nickname because it was full of like lamps and glitzer. But of course, it was like just a...
So what was Honecker? What, he was
Honecker, he's the head honcho of East Germany, right?
And so in English, it was Honecker's...
Like Honecker's lamp shop, if you wish, because it was really like, it was a glitzy
place. It was like a lamp shop.
Yeah,
if you go into a lamp shop here, you got lamps hanging from the ceiling.
Huge facade with glass and you know, glittering lamps. And it was like
a built,
showcase.
It was built on the very important historic spot.
Absolutely, because what was there before was a Baroque palace for the Hohenzollern dynasty, who ruled not only Berlin, but Prussia. And Germany.
And that was the palace. Of course, World War II was destroyed. Communists come in, they build a glitzy, on their standards, people's palace there. And then they tore that down because it had
asbestos
yes. in it. So you got a grassy field, which I kind of liked. And then there's a big discussion in Berlin of what are we going to do?
Big discussion.
So Holger, they finally did it. And it's up, it's open. And what do you think of it? Tell us what it is, the Humboldt Forum.
It's a strange beast, to be honest. You know, as I said, it's you have now suddenly in the middle of Berlin, like a replica of a Prussian palace, you know, together with all the details, the sandstone, the angels, the facades and everything.
Yeah.
But it's partly is modern. Franco Stella was the architect. So it's part modern, part old looking.
Yeah.
And it is this threesome. It has like part museum, part exhibition space, part library.
It was a lot of work for you and me when I was working on it for the new edition in my guidebook, because there's a lot of dimensions to that. And Berlin is really invested in it. And it is quite an impressive place for culture, for history, for local pride. And architecturally, what a statement. Because on one side, you've got the Hohenzollern Palace facade. And then the other, you've got this brutalism. And it's right there on the island where all the museums are and the great cathedral. And that's really, in so many ways, the center of Berlin.
And it does talk about, like, you can visit the basements like we did. You go down and you see like the foundations, the fundaments, because there's not much of Middle Ages left in Berlin because of destruction. So that's a part you can see. But then you have the first or second floor. There's a huge like permanent exhibition called Berlin Global, which really talks about how Berlin interacts with the world, also addressing colonial history, something that we're just kind of discovering in Germany. And that's, I think it's a very telling exhibition.
Holger Zimmer and Jim McDonnell are our guides in What's New in Berlin right now on Travel with Rick Steves. We'll continue in a moment with a look at renovation projects that keep the city on the move and some of the new attractions you might look out for. And later, a former Peace Corps volunteer tells us about the life lessons he gained from a 2-year assignment to a former Soviet Republic of Central Asia. Danke schön for being with us today on Travel with Rick Steves.